This is the 21st. I'm Brian Moldeen, in for Brian Mackey today. Once upon a time, it seemed that you only heard about cryptocurrency in Silicon Valley tech circles. Now, it's entered the mainstream. According to a survey from Morning Consult, 36% of millennials own cryptocurrency. And even actors like Matt Damon are appearing in commercials for crypto companies.
With four simple words that have been whispered by the intrepid since the time of the Romans, fortune favors the brave.
But as cryptocurrency is booming, consumer advocates are worried about the lack of federal regulations. There are also environmental concerns about all of the computing power and energy needed to trade and mine all these digital dollars. And in the absence of these federal regulations, companies and lobbyists have their sights set on state legislatures. David Yaffe Bellany covers cryptocurrency and fintech for the New York Times. He recently reported on how the crypto industry is helping to write and pass its own agenda in state legislatures, including here in Illinois. David joins us now. Welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you use cryptocurrency? Do you have questions about it? Or perhaps questions about David's reporting? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. David, when we talk about cryptocurrency, just give us a broad overview of what we're looking at here.
The basic idea of cryptocurrency is it's a form of digital money that you can use to pay for things, that you can exchange with people, that you can buy, you know, hoping that its price will rise in the future without dealing with a kind of centralized middleman like a bank. You know, you can deal directly with the person on the other end of the exchange. That's the sort of central idea behind cryptocurrency.
Sure. What companies right now are the big players in crypto?
Well, there's a wide range. I mean, there are publicly traded companies like Coinbase, which is a cryptocurrency exchange. So a place where you can go to spend your dollars and get Bitcoin in return or get Ether, another type of cryptocurrency in return. So there are a bunch of different exchanges. You've also got publicly traded cryptocurrency mining companies. Marathon is one of the biggest, for example, and that industry is growing more and more all the time.
Sure. And could you tell us a little bit about crypto mining, exactly what that consists of?
Sure. So it's not like traditional mining. There are no picks and shovels involved. It's not something that really sort of conjures images of big piles of dirt or anything like that. It's essentially a computing process. Think about the technology behind cryptocurrency is called a blockchain. And that's essentially a public ledger that anybody can see where cryptocurrency transactions are recorded. It's like a big Google Doc where, you know, person A spending X amount of money and sending it to person B. That's all sort of recorded in a list. It takes a lot of computing power to ensure that ledger is accurate, that, you know, people have the money that they say they have when they conduct those exchanges. And the process of providing that computing power is known as mining, because your reward for running all those computers that underlie this whole complicated system is that you get a little bit of Bitcoin in exchange. So you're essentially, you know, rewarded with Bitcoin as payment for providing the computing power that keeps the whole system running.
Sure. Now, let's shift here and talk about some of the measures that some of these large companies are trying to get passed in state legislatures. What do some of those measures look like?
So there are a wide range of things that states are interested in, that crypto companies are pushing in different states. You've got proposals as sort of extreme as making Bitcoin legal tender in a specific state. You've got places where companies are pushing for proposals known as fintech sandboxes, where basically for a set amount of time, a company can experiment with innovations in this new sort of digital asset space without following all the regulations that they would normally have to follow, a kind of special dispensation from the regulatory structure. And then in states like Illinois, you have companies pushing for, you know, tax breaks for crypto mining, you know, ways to sort of mine crypto in as kind of friendly an environment as possible.
Sure. And let's talk a little bit more about Illinois. And Illinois is one of the states where you found that, you know, some of the language written by crypto lobbyists was taken just pretty much word for word and put into proposed legislation. So let's talk about the specific legislation in Illinois. You know, what kind of tax breaks are they looking for here?
Sure. So you're right. Across the country, you know, crypto lobbyists have been very successful in pushing legislation that state legislators adopt and then pass, and then, you know, the companies can sort of profit from that. So in Illinois, a few years ago, the legislature established a major tax break for data centers. And the effort by the crypto industry in Illinois now is to sort of amend that law to kind of extend the tax break to crypto mining facilities as well. The argument that, you know, these sort of these data centers, you know, big collections of computers that are used to mine crypto sort of fit sort of smoothly into that existing law. And so the origins of this are that a company named Sangha Systems repurposed an old steel mill in Hennepin into a crypto mining facility. Their lobbyists got in touch with the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, which suggested, you know, an effort to create this tax break. You know, the chamber wrote the bill. That draft of the bill was sent to Sue Resin, a Republican in the state Senate. That, you know, basically a bill that was almost identical to the draft the lobbyists had written was proposed, and now it's sort of awaiting action in the Illinois legislature.
Sure, and just want to mention that bill is currently in committee in the Illinois Senate, has not advanced out of there yet. We'll keep tabs on that bill and let you know how it progresses. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Moline, in for Brian Mackey today. We're talking with David Yaffe Bellany. He covers cryptocurrency for the New York Times. We're talking about his recent reporting on the crypto industry's influence on state legislatures. And in Illinois, as he mentioned, it turns out some of the proposed legislation relating to cryptocurrency was taken word for word from lobbyists. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 800-222-9455 or tweet us at 21st Show. David, in your reporting, do you have the sense that state legislatures have a good sense of what these rules would do?
I mean, I think it's important not to assume that state legislators don't know what they're doing or that they're being completely duped by the crypto industry. But I think it's certainly the case that this is an incredibly complicated and very new industry that not many people understand. And many of the legislators that I spoke with admitted that they didn't totally understand. And so that gives the industry, you know, disproportionate power in sort of shaping what this legislation looks like, because they're the ones who really get it and really understand it. Now, on the one hand, you want your legislators, you know, talking to experts and getting all the input that they can. But, you know, it really risks a situation in which, you know, the industry is shaping legislation in a way that helps companies make money while potentially hurting consumers.
Sure. And speaking of consumers, you know, what have you heard from consumer advocates about some of their concerns around the crypto industry focusing on state legislatures?
Sure. So this is a less of an issue with crypto mining, since that's not really a consumer product in the same way. But, you know, in other states where intelligence boxes under consideration, one of the systems to test a product on the usual kind of regulatory process. Consumers could be hurt in that. They could lose money. They could buy a kind of newfangled fintech product that ends up causing them all sorts of problems. Now, there are various protections,
you know, built into these new pieces of legislation. Certainly the companies are arguably being very careful on how they implement experimental financial products, but that risk remains, and that's the sort of alarm that you hear.
I think we're having just a couple of problems with your Zoom connection here, David. We're talking with David Yaffe Bellany. He covers cryptocurrency for the New York Times. We'll see maybe if we can have David just reconnect here real quick so we can finish our conversation. Again, we're talking about cryptocurrency and the crypto industry's influence on state legislatures. In some states, including Illinois, it looks like some of the proposed legislation relating to cryptocurrency has been taken word for word from lobbyists. If you'd like to join the conversation here this morning, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. And let's see if we've gotten David's connection ironed out. David, are you back with us? Well, we'll keep trying to reconnect with David Yaffe Bellany. Again, we're talking about cryptocurrency. David is a reporter for the New York Times covering the issue, and we're talking about the crypto industry's influence on state legislatures. David, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Thanks. Sorry about that. Just having some issues with the Zoom connection. You know, we've talked about a little bit about concerns from consumer advocates about the crypto industry. How about some of the environmental concerns about crypto mining? What are some of those?
So the main argument is that these powerful computers that are running constantly to kind of keep the Bitcoin system moving use a huge amount of power. There are various ways of measuring this. I mean, you often see the total energy use of the Bitcoin mining industry compared to the total use of like an entire country. So the energy consumption of the country of Greece, for instance, is close to the energy use of the Bitcoin mining infrastructure. And, you know, people sometimes quibble with that statistic, but there's no question that it requires a huge amount of power to keep these computers running so that, you know, new Bitcoin is created and Bitcoin transactions can take place. And you know, that's sort of definitely raised alarm among environmentalists. In many cases, these Bitcoin mining facilities are using fossil fuels to power their operations, and that's, you know, bad for the climate for all the reasons that environmentalists have been explaining for decades.
Sure. And David, one thing I've never quite understood about the crypto industry and the mining aspect in particular, why does it take just so much energy to make it work?
Partly because the system is set up as a competition. Basically, you have computers around the world that are racing against each other to solve these complex mathematical problems as fast as they can so they can get that reward, that, you know, Bitcoin that they get as a reward for, you know, verifying transactions on the blockchain. So, you know, it's not just that you know, they have, it's really complicated to power this system. It's that there's an actual element of competition there, which, you know, makes the power necessary to keep the system running increase and increase.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. You know, I know you've recently done some reporting in Florida, David, about people wanting to get into the crypto industry. Are you seeing a lot of growth in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Florida's become, I mean, Miami especially has become a kind of real crypto center with cryptocurrency companies relocating there and local political figures trying to turn it into a kind of crypto capital in the U.S. So, yeah, this is definitely something we're seeing. You know, we're seeing people who work at established tech companies like Google, Facebook, you know, leave those kind of comfy corporate jobs to go work for crypto startups. You know, there's a sort of widespread sense across the tech industry that this is the next big thing, the most exciting thing going. And, you know, people are kind of trying to get involved in that in whatever way they can.
Sure. And as far as, you know, the value of cryptocurrency, we certainly hear a lot about the ebbs and flows of the value of Bitcoin, for example. You know, what's the market looking like right now?
I mean, Bitcoin is down a bit in the last few days, but I sort of think it's sometimes foolish to pay too much attention to the sort of daily gyrations in the price of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. You know, it's very volatile. You know, it's constantly going up and down. You can sometimes put a little bit, you can sort of invest a little bit too much in what that means for the overall health of the industry, I think. You know, overall, you know, Bitcoin did extremely well last year. It got close to 70,000 and has since, you know, dipped way below that. You know, we're now sort of circling 40,000, 45,000. But if you look at the kind of overall graph over the last few years, you know, the value of Bitcoin has increased significantly, and where it will kind of settle, I think nobody really knows.
Sure. And what about the culture of cryptocurrency? I know you've done some reporting recently that there's almost kind of a bit of a Wolf of Wall Street culture surrounding it. What about the future, I guess, culture of cryptocurrency?
Sure. I mean, it's a heavily male-dominated industry that's been a problem in crypto for a long time. There have been kind of a lot of efforts to sort of diversify the industry, you know, with sort of mixed success. You know, there's definitely a little bit of a hard partying element around crypto. You know, there was a big conference in Miami recently that I attended part of, and, you know, there are big parties every night. But I think that's a part of lots of other industries too. And, you know, crypto is not monolithic. I mean, the people who kind of originally sort of came up with the technological and philosophical underpinnings of it were sort of really serious libertarians who were sort of all about creating a currency that exists outside of government control. you know, that's not subject to the same kind of inflationary pressures that, you know, we're seeing now with the U.S. dollar. And so you have that element certainly still exists in the crypto community. You've also got really serious tech people who are just obsessed with the kind of underlying technology and how it works and making it better. You've got people from the traditional finance industry who might not understand the technology, but want to use it to create new and exciting financial products. And there's a lot of debate over consumer protection issues with that. So really a wide range of people are involved in the industry, and they all have kind of different agendas and different backgrounds. It makes it a kind of fascinating space to cover.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And before we let you go here, David, you know, you mentioned not to get too caught up in the short term gyrations of the market, but in terms of the industry long term, do you think there's a chance that this all goes bust, or is crypto here to stay?
I think that it's unlikely that the entire thing would go bust, but even people who are really committed to cryptocurrency and think that it's the future and think that Bitcoin's going to 100,000 by the end of the year, even those people acknowledge that we're in a little bit of a bubble right now, that you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of cryptocurrency projects, that venture capitalists are throwing, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars at this industry, and that at some point there's going to be a winnowing process where some of this stuff collapses. And what will survive that cull and what will die, you know, it's hard to predict, and I don't pretend to be enough of an expert to predict it, but a lot of money will be made and lost on betting, you know, what survives and what doesn't. But there are certainly elements of the crypto industry that have sort of demonstrated that they have, you know, actual, you know, practical uses and, you know, have already been kind of incorporated into various other industries in ways that suggest some sort of long-term viability. So, you know, I would bet against a kind of total collapse of the entire thing, though of course you never know, but would certainly expect there to be a kind of major call or sort of winnowing moment over the next few years.
David Yaffe Bellany reports on cryptocurrency for the New York Times. David, thanks so much for the insight today.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. Coming up, we'll speak with an Illinois native about how his idea as a University of Illinois accounting student turned to a booming liquor business. That's coming up next on the 21st. Stay with us.